Thank you for listening to the Shanghai Community Fellowship Podcast. To find out more about the SCF community, listen to sermons, and upcoming events, visit us at shanghaifellowship.org.
Yeah, welcome and good afternoon, everyone. I've been given the privilege to share the Word of God the last Sunday before Pastor Dale comes. I think this is an honor. And another thing, I just want to bless God for this wonderful time. I mean, we're just at the beginning of the year, and we are in China where we can have two New Years. I was telling someone that, you know, we are in between the New Year and the Chinese New Year. So we are like in the transit zone. We are in between. It's like we are just in the transit zone. So allow me to say Happy New Year. Happy New Year, everyone. And welcome back to those who have been traveling. We acknowledge that during the holiday, people were traveling here and there. And welcome back to all of you who have been away. And one thing, as Aline said, I welcome a third child, which I will talk about it later. But this is actually the year that I heard the loudest fireworks. The very loudest fireworks. Yeah, I was like, what is happening? What is happening? It was very loud. I don't know if you experienced it. Even last night, there was another fireworks. But we thank God because God is giving us this environment, and we are very grateful. Often, we found ourselves entering a new season. We found ourselves entering, transitioning from one to another. And you know, there are many questions that come. We found ourselves in many questions asking, like, what is going to happen? What is happening now? So, these questions are natural. The questions of uncertainty, you know, you're like, what is happening? We are very uncertain about the future. And sometimes these questions weigh us. It's like it sticks on us. We are not we are unsure of what is happening. Perhaps this resonates with you today. At the beginning of a year, the beginning of a season, or you want to enter into a new season, you don't know what lies ahead. You are unsure of what is happening. What is going to happen? I know myself, I was asking myself the same question. When me and Linda were sitting few hours before she delivers, she was on 40 weeks plus 2 days. We went there because normally it's 40 weeks. So after 2 days, it's like, what is happening? The baby is not coming or what? So we went to that hospital, and then we were waiting. But what we heard was not what we were expecting. We arrived there. The doctor said that the baby is not moving. The baby is not moving. There's no movement. And then after running some tests, the doctor told us what we were not expecting, that there is a umbilical cord around his neck, that why he cannot move. We had two babies previous, which did not happen. We didn't have any issue like that. This was the first time. This was a new season we were entering. It was a new territory, a new environment we were entering. We were not prepared. In fact, we went without bag. We just went to check what is happening, this baby. So we, like the preparation bag, we didn't have it. So it's like, what is happening? So in the midst of all these thoughts, when we were sitting down, we didn't know what to do because the doctor asked us to, like, the procedure, explain us all the procedure, very scary one, my very first time. A sister sent me a message, and the message says that God has already gone before you. She was not even there, But I just received that message. It was a simple word. But it was an encouragement, but also a reminder. It's a reminder of Jesus promising his disciples that he will go before them and preparing the way. This is a promise for us in any situation of transition, whether becoming a father, a parent, whether starting a new job, or moving to a new city or a new place. It's a promise. It's a reminder for us who are stepping into a new season. It's a promise for us. Or maybe for students who are going to start a new semester. The word is God has always gone before us. The Lord's will go before us. This is that word. So today we're going to look at two scriptures. One from Deuteronomy, which is at the end of Moses' time before he leave the baton to Joshua. And then we have the second story is from Mark, which is also Jesus at the end of his time with the disciple. So we'll look at it and then learn from what God wants us or some takeaway. So let's turn to Deuteronomy 31st. This is like a farewell. You will call it a farewell event. It's like the last time that Moses is saying. I just want to give you a context. Moses is preparing the Israelites for a new season. He's preparing them for something new, something that is about to come. And Joshua is stepping in the new leadership. Israel is about to cross the Jordan River and enter into the promised land. If you remember last Sunday, the preacher talked about what happened after this event that I'm going to preach today. So they've traveled a long time from Egypt to this place before crossing the Jordan River. So Moses will not go with them. No, Moses will not cross the Jordan River as God has already spoken to him. So he's now preparing the Israelites. He's preparing Joshua for what is coming. He's preparing them for the new season that is coming. And he reassures the people. He speaks to them. So from 31st chapter all the way to the end of Deuteronomy, he's kind of giving them what they need to do or action that they need to do or action that they need to take or things that they need to take in consideration while they will be moving. And now the story. By the way, Deuteronomy is the book of the Bible that Jesus quoted when he was tempted. When he was tempted by Satan, everything that he quoted is from the book of Deuteronomy. So which I would really encourage for you and I to read. If you have time, go at home and read. There is a lot of good information. So let's read from Deuteronomy 31st verse 1. When Moses had finished giving this instruction to all the people of Israel, he said, I am now 120 years old, and I'm no longer able to lead you. The Lord has told me you will not cross the Jordan River, but the Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy the nation living there, and you will take possession of the land. Joshua will lead you across the river, just as the Lord promised. The Lord will destroy the nation living in the land, just as he destroyed Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites. The Lord will end over to you the people who live there, and you must deal with them as I have commanded you. So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Then Moses called Joshua, and as all Israel watched, he said to him, be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestor he would give them. You are the one who will divide it among them as their grant land. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Amen. So Moses tells the Israelites that I will not cross the Jordan River with you. I will no longer lead you. You know, at this time, Israel only know one leader. Israel only know one leader, and the leader is Moses. And Moses, at this time, is telling them that I will not cross with you. You see, it's something I want you to have a perspective that the one that they knew to be their leader, everything they knew was Moses. What does God say? And now he's saying that I will not cross with you. But he says something which is very important. He said that God will lead you. He wants to take himself out of the picture that it is actually God who will lead you. Me, I'm not there. I will not be there, and that's not a problem. But God will continue to be with them. Jesus won't be without a leader. God will lead them. It's not like they will just stay like that. God will lead them. And he continued and said that Joshua, his designated agents, will go with you. So it's like giving this information that's moving forward. Only God is God that will be with you. And in here we see that Moses is giving two instructions. He gives them two instructions and a promise. He gave them an instruction on how they should move forward, what they should do in the new season, what they should follow, what they should observe in the new season. He gave them these two instructions and follow with a promise. And the first instruction is a warning. He warned them that do not be afraid or terrified. And the second is an encouragement. He encouraged them to be strong and courageous. And for a promise, he promised that the Lord will personally go ahead of you. We will see that later Jesus uses the same promise. He used the same promise now to his disciple about what was to come. This one, we'll see it later. So Moses is saying that God, as your leader, you don't have to be afraid. He's saying that having God as your leader, you don't need to be afraid. God is marching with them as a divine warrior. He's saying to them that your confidence now should not be on me, it should be on God. So now you have to act boldly as you move forward, because the leader, your leader, is God. He's putting himself out of the picture. It is very important. It is very important to know who is with you. It is very important to know who is walking with you. Who is with you? Here he's saying that he's God. God, having God as your leader, you don't have to be afraid. God never sends his children in any situation alone. He always leads the way. Just like the Israelites, you will see that when they were moving with a cloud during the day and a pillar at night. God never sends his children into any situation alone. Another illustration is like, you know, when a president is about to go to a foreign country, there is a group of people that will go ahead of him to prepare. That's why they call them an advanced troop. Those are the people that will go, whatever that the president is going to do, or an executive, these ones are going to do first. If he's taking this car, they will try it, or everything about the agenda, sometimes even drinking what he's going to drink, the cup, the handle that he's going to use. That is the advanced troop that they do. When God gives you a promise, he doesn't send you as his advanced troop. God will never send you into a situation that as his advanced troop, like you go first and go and test. No, God will never send you like that. God himself, he will go ahead of you. He will go and prepare the way. I remember last year we had a trip, a hiking trip in Hanji. You know, the tour guide, they had to go ahead of us to check which route we will take and where we will a good spot for us to take a picture. This is what God does. He will go ahead of you. He goes ahead of you and prepare the way. So Moses told Joshua, on this new journey, you will not go alone. He gives him that promise. You will not go alone. God will go with you. He will go ahead of you. So fast forward, we see a similar situation just like Moses in Deuteronomy 31st. Jesus is also at the end of his time with his disciple. You will call it also a farewell. But using biblical term, we'll say it's a last supper. On the last supper, the meal before his crucifixion, Jesus is preparing his disciple for what's coming, what's to come. They are about to enter into a new season where they will no longer walk with Jesus physically. So Jesus is preparing them. And he also gives them, just like Moses, he gives them two messages. He gives them a warning and a promise. We read in Mark 14:27, on the way Jesus told them, that is on the way to Gethsemane, Jesus told them, all of you will desert me. All of you will desert me. For the scripture says, God will strike the shepherds and the sheep will be scattered. So he warns them that every one of you will lose faith in me. He gives them a warning. You will leave me tonight. What does it mean, Jesus? It means that you will be ashamed of me and you will abandon me. He's giving them a warning. Everyone, this evening, you are going to leave me. Why? Because what is going to happen to Jesus will make their faith to be shaken. Their faith will be shaken. The disciples have been with Jesus for 3 years. They've been with Jesus for 3 years, and now they are transitioning from one season to another season. So Jesus is preparing them for that. Your faith will be shaken, but he gives them a promise. Your faith will be shaken. You will abandon me, but I have a promise for you. But I have a promise for you. And he gave them a promise in verse 28. You will abandon me, but after I am raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there. Jesus made them, he made a very special promise to his friend. He promised to meet them in 3 days after his death. This wasn't just an ordinary promise. It was not just an ordinary promise it's a promise that will change everything. And more about later. He promised to meet them in Galilee. You know, Galilee, as I did some research, Galilee is the place where they share many things together. You know, Jesus called them from Galilee. It is in Galilee where Jesus did most of his ministry. And so Galilee represents a place of restoration. That's the place where they encountered the first love. This is where they started to love Jesus more and more. That's the place. So it's a place of restoration. It's a place of new beginning. So when he's giving them a promise to meet them in Galilee, there is an aspect of a new beginning, of returning to the first love, to returning to where God has called them, where they have seen Jesus performing miracles, doing his ministry. So it was where they will restart afresh. It's a place where they will renew their relationship with Jesus. So it was not just a random promise, or it was not just a random pick. This is a promise of love and trust. He promised to meet them again. It's a promise of love. Jesus made this promise out of love and care. He wanted to be with his friends again, even after death. He wanted to be with them. His love was stronger than death. His love is stronger than death. Jesus' love is stronger than anything. Even stronger than disappointment or abandonment. You know, Jesus' love is different than human love. You see in this picture, he's telling like, everyone will leave me, but I will see you again. Jesus' love is different than human love. Human love will say like, you recognize true friends in times of trouble. This is what human love will say. Like, true friendship is tested during difficult time. I will know that this one is my friend based on the situation that I'm going through. He came for me, then this one is my friend. This one did not come. This is not my friend. This is how we define love as human. This is what the world defines love. But Jesus' love is different. Jesus' love is different. Human love will be you get what you give. You get what you give. It's only what you give, then you get something in return. Just proportionally. But Jesus' love is not like that. And I see that Jesus loves so much. I don't know if I can say that Jesus' love is multidimensional. It's many form. I don't know. Maybe it's 100th dimension. It cannot be 2-dimension. Jesus' love is multidimension. He said, you will abandon me, but I still love you. Jesus knew that the disciples will fail the loyalty test. They will fail, but he still offered them love in return. I often see this when someone wants to change the nationality from one nationality to the other, there is this principle like they need to go to the court or to the judge to swear. And one thing that they will swear and say that I will protect the interests of this new country. I will protect the interests. So whenever my country, my previous country and my new country comes in conflict, I will protect the interests of this country. But these people have been already on God's side, but they will fail this loyalty test. Normally, according to human standards, they will be denied. They will be withdrawn the citizenship. But Jesus said, but I still love you. He knew that they would lack courage to stand up for him. But his love remained unchanged. He's saying, I do not love you based on what you can do for me, but I love you anyway. Not because of what you will do. C.S. Lewis says, the great things to remember is that though our feelings come and go, his love for us does not. Jesus' love is unconditional. Unlike human, which has expectation and condition, Jesus' love is unconditional. Peter tried to prove his loyalty. You know, Peter is very bold. He wanted to prove his loyalty. He said, like, everyone, even if everyone else abandoned you, God, I won't. But Jesus reminds him that his love was not based on action or promise. Paul understood this love, saying in Romans 5:8, he says, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Paul experienced and understood this love that is not based on action, is not based on what you do. He loves us anyway. God's love is higher than the mountains that we face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant through the trial and the change. One thing remain. Yes, one thing. As Jesus Culture will sing, your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. That is Jesus' love. It never runs out of me. His love is always constant. His love is unconditional. It's also a promise of trust. When Jesus made this promise to meet his friends, he showed that he trusts them and loves them. He wanted them to trust that he will keep his promise. He wanted them to trust that he will keep his promise no matter what. So Jesus is saying that in 3 days, I will see you. He wanted them to trust that he will keep his promise no matter what. It's implied that I want you to trust me, that I will keep my words no matter what. Jesus was putting his name and credibility on the line when he was making this promise. You know, it's not just you don't make any promise like that. I will die and then I will see you in 3 days. You don't make promise like that. He was putting his name and credibility. He was just putting it right there. That's when I say to you that after I rise from the dead, you can trust me. And I'm giving you my words. I'm putting my credibility on the line here. It wasn't just a meeting, just what was announced here that we will have a welcome lunch at Crafted. This was not that type of meeting. It was not that type of promise. He was not setting up a regular appointment, like one that you make an appointment and then say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I have some issues. My third child just come." You don't make promise. It's not like that. He was making a serious commitment. You will also call. He was making a vow. He was making a serious commitment to them that I am going to die, but after 3 days, I will see you. He was making an important commitment. So for you to understand this part, you see, the disciples have been with Jesus for 3 years. They've been with him, just like the Israelites who have been with Moses for 40 years. They've been with him. They gave up everything. But Jesus here is telling them, I'm going to die. So these ones they gave up everything. In fact, Peter, he has said it in Mark 10:28. He said, we have left everything to follow you. So in this moment, Jesus is saying, I've trusted you to trust me. Now I will show you that I can be trusted. Jesus is telling them that I will be with you. After 3 days, I will be with you. I will keep my words to you. You can trust me. You can trust me. Jesus is saying that he can be trusted. And in fact, Jesus can be trusted. Jesus can be trusted. God can be trusted. He has proved it from time to time that he can be trusted. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say that God can be trusted. God can be trusted. He has proven from time to time that he can be trusted. We have seen it. We have experienced it. We have lived it that he can be trusted. This reminds me of a song also. I am a singer. So sometimes it comes to me like that I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. We have tested and we trust that God can be trusted. He has proven to be trustworthy. He is capable to keep his promise because he has authority and competence. God can be trusted. He will never fail. Finally, he assures his disciples that he's not going just to meet them. He will meet them in Galilee. That he will precede them. He will go before them. He says, but after I am raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there. So what are the takeaways that we can take from this story? What does it mean? It means that we can take a step of faith knowing that he is leading the way. It means that we can take a step of faith knowing that he's leading the way. You know Joshua from last week's message. Like God has given them all the instruction about crossing the river. They had to take a step of faith to take the ark and step into the water. You have to take. And this one are not done by God. This will never be done by God. He has said it. You have to take a step of faith. He will not take that feat. It's you who will take that. So he's saying, like, knowing all this, we can take a step of faith. Just like Peter in the boat, God's called him to come. Jesus called him to come. He had to take a step of faith and come out. This can only be done by you and me. So knowing that he has gone ahead of us, we can take a step of faith. We see that number two, we can maintain courage in our journey. We can maintain courage in our journey. He says, like, be courageous. Be courageous. This is an action verb. Be courageous. We can maintain courage in our journey. And sometimes these two things can help you to boost your courage. It's declaring the words and the promises of God over your life. These things it will encourage, it will boost your courage. Just stand somewhere in your room. You go in your room and start declaring, I declare this is the word of God over my life. You will see that your courage were low, it will increase. It has done, it worked for me. You see, when I was doing my master's, those who are studying master's, especially from Jauda, they will say that life is not very easy. It's not very easy. So sometimes you read 11 papers, but you don't get anything. They know it. They are laughing. After reading 11 papers, but you come out, it's like, oh, what is happening? I've never studied or what? But for you to be encouraged again, I had to go to my room and say, God did not bring me here to be the last. He brought me here to be the head. He calls me for a purpose. I have a purpose, and I'm in a journey. God is leading me somewhere. This will not be my barrier. And then, doing this, I did not extend even one day. By God's grace. So you can maintain courage by declaring the words and the promise of God as you are stepping into a new season. And courage comes from looking up and not looking down. Courage comes from looking up and not looking down. I was sitting in the hospital when my wife is in the OR. It's like things are just too complicated. I don't understand. I've never done that in my life. Taking someone to an operation room is something that I don't know. So I was just, my head was down, trying to sleep. And then all of a sudden, I just felt something in me that looked up. And I saw that there was a screen. And on that screen, I saw the name of my wife. And behind, there was a cross. There was a cross. I'm saying this is happening here. I saw the cross and it's really encouraged me. Like God is there. God is in that room and I don't have to be afraid. I said, like, my wife and my baby are coming out. Look up. Look up. Don't look down. Don't walk as if life has put you down. Look up. Your help comes from heaven. Your helps come from God. Look up. Look up. Look up. It is very important. Don't walk as if everything, there's no hope. Your hope is God. Israel, God is leading you. God is leading you. You will be encouraged by looking up. Number three, we can give up on control. Another takeaway, we can give up on control. and rest on God. We can give up control. This is another. Because knowing that God is ahead of you and is with you and is leading you, give up on control. Last Wednesday, we were in Holy Spirit night, and this was the message, that surrender to God. Living, there is victory. And in fact, there is even peace when you walk that I'm not in charge. God is in charge. God is in control. God, I know I can trust Him. I'm not sitting on the driver's side. He is sitting. I'm giving control on Him. I'm putting everything on Him. In fact, Himself, He said, give me your burden. He's very willing that give me everything. Give me everything. Give up control. Sometimes what's worrying us is because we want to control everything, all the outcome. We want to control everything. And what gives us worry? I like what Gordon an evangelist who said, like, don't carry tomorrow's loads, you carry it today. Because today already you have a certain load. And then you bring another load of tomorrow you put on yourself. That means on that day you are walking with how many loads? Two loads. Yesterday, tomorrow, and today. You will not move. It will be too heavy. Give up on control. God is in charge. God is leading you. He said, I will go ahead of you and I am with you. I can give up control. I can rest on Him. As the scripture will say, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Sometimes what we need is to be still. Sometimes what we need is to relax. Sometimes what we need is to rest. God is in charge. You even acknowledge in your prayer that, God, I am not in charge. You are in charge. He has authority and He has competence, and He will never, ever fail. I've seen it, and I'm very sure that He is still doing that. Amen. So God will go ahead of us. God will go ahead of you. What does it mean to you? What season are you in conclusion? What season are you preparing to enter in? God, the promise of today, God will go ahead of you. God will go ahead of you. He will be with you. So let's stand. Maybe it's just a new year for you. Or maybe you are going to enter into a new season. Change of job, change of place. The word for today, the promise that God has for you and me, is saying, is speaking to your heart. God will go before you. He's going before you. Just trust Him. He can be trusted. After 3 days, what was the promise became reality to the disciple. Maybe God is calling you to Galilee, to a place of restoration, coming to the first love. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you and give you praise. I thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God, we know that what comes before us sometimes is unsure. We don't know what is ahead. But we believe that, God, you have gone ahead of us to prepare the way. We just want to prepare our hearts. We pray for our hearts that, God, may we live in a way that we will give up control. We will rest on you. We will put our trust in you. That's when we are walking, that we will walk not looking down, but looking up. Where our helps come from. God, if you are calling us to a place of restoration, God, may you speak to our hearts. May you bring us back to you, God. Bring us back to the first love. To the new beginning with you. We want to start afresh with you. We bless you. We give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.